If you're looking for plump lips that last, you need to know about Juvederm lip fillers. With Juvederm Volbella XC and Juvederm Ultra XC, your lip look, whether it's subtle or bold, can last up to 1 full year with optimal treatment and no additional maintenance. Find a licensed specialist and see if it's right for you at Juvederm.com today. That's Juvederm.com. Add fullness to lips in adults over 21 with Juvederm Volbella XC or Juvederm Ultra XC. Do not use if you have severe allergies or a history of severe allergic reactions, or if you're allergic to lidocaine or the proteins used in Juvederm. Tell your doctor if you have a history of scarring or taking medicines that decrease the body's immune response or that can prolong bleeding. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. As with all fillers, there's a rare risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. For full, important safety information, visit Juvederm.com.
One size fits all seems like a good idea for clothes until you try them on. Same goes for healthcare. That's why United Healthcare offers flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. Learn more at UH1.com.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Hey everyone, this is DJ.
And this is Ish.
And this is season 7 of Better Let Me Tell You.
Done. Put your mind to it, go for it. Get down and break a sweat. Rock and roll, you ain't seen nothing yet.
That's the new single from Hot Fudge Sunday.
If you know, you know.
It's a hot new indie band.
It's a hot new indie band from...
Yeah, from NBC Universal Records.
Yes. And they're in high school. They go to Bayside High.
They do. They do. And they're so humble because they still have part-time jobs.
They do at the max.
Yes. Yes.
With that said, everybody, welcome to episode 295.
Yes.
295.
Yes, 295.
That's a great number, 295.
It is a cool number, right? Like, I never thought about it, but when you say it out loud, yeah, I like it.
Do you know what experiment 626 is?
Well, that's Stitch.
Stitch. Stitch is my favorite.
One day we'll get to episode 626, and then we'll just call it Biddle Stitch.
Man, that'd be great.
Well, we're closing in on 300.
Stitch makes an appearance on Biddle, let me tell you.
Oh, Hannah means family.
That's pretty good. Manakrishna!
Oh, yeah.
Oh. Naughty. That is probably Lilo and Stitch is probably top five for me Disney movies.
You know what I always think of or remember when I see or think of Lilo and Stitch? The first one of our friends who saw that is actually one of our friends who's not known for her displays of emotion. Mm-hmm. And she told me, she saw it in the theater, and she's like, I was bawling like a little bitch.
The movie?
Yeah. So it moved her, so I was like, okay, well, then I'm going to be...
Yeah, it's great. I would like to say that I'm a Lilo and Stitch OG.
Well, of course.
From the moment it came out, I was like, Stitch is my boy.
You have loved Stitch forever.
I have, and it's the only... I don't really collect stuffed animals. That's not what I do, but...
Don't lie.
I have several.
You and your Build-A-Bear collection.
Stitches. I love.
You have several Stitches.
I have several Stitches. I have one which is my favorite. That's Back to School Stitch, and he's wearing like a book bag and a hat and a little lunchbox. I love it. I love Lilo and Stitch. It's great. I don't understand why they're doing a live animation of it, but you know.
Because you can't do original anymore. You have to also be IPs.
I think it's great that it's in Hawaii.
Well, I mean, you can't do Lilo and Stitch in North Dakota.
Imagine Dallas.
Yeah, I mean,
and it was like the opening of like Dallas, the show.
That would be great, though.
Then it and just Lita becomes who's on JR?
No. With his little gun.
He's very persuasive. You know what? Now that I said that, who shot JR? Mm-hmm. That's one of those things that, like, you know, as time passes by and, you know,
yeah,
you look at the realm and the history of pop culture, that whole who shot JR thing, that was before our time.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
But when we were kids, I feel that that was still something people said.
Oh, because of the monoculture, of course.
Right. But yeah, I feel that the whole who shot JR thing, and for those of you who don't know,
oh, yeah,
so in the late 80s, well, from the late 70s all the way to the 90s, early 90s, Dallas ran for like 15, 16 years. Wow. Dallas started in the 70s and ended in the 90s.
Oh, wow. I knew it started in the 70s. I didn't realize
it. Yeah. And so Dallas ran all those years, and Dallas was one of those famous shows on TV. And, you know, one of the greatest pop culture moments, I think, in like American pop culture history,
TV history,
it was the whole thing of who shot JR. And I remember when we were kids, that had happened like 4 or 5 years before, and people were still talking about it. It was still like a saying, like, who shot JR? Or like people that would wear shirts that said, I shot JR.
Yep.
You know, and I feel that that's one of those things that like kids now, they have no clue. Like, no clue. But the reason I said that is because I feel that even after, way after that happened, people still talked about it. I remember in the early aughts, like, VH1 I Love the 80s had it, and it was like a big part of that show.
The Simpsons even parodied it, and by the time The Simpsons came out, that episode was very old. I mean, they did a Who Shot Mr. Burns.
Yeah, it was like 10 years later.
Yeah.
What season did they do that in?
One of the earlier ones.
I mean, you have 30.
Yeah, exactly.
Let's
say within the first five, more or less.
Which that was 10 years later when, if it was an early season. But, you know, it's one of those like pop culture moments that people don't, like the younger generation doesn't know. Just, I'm sure there's a lot of pop culture moments that we don't know. But I think there's like moments way before us that I know. Like, I know of like Woodstock. I know of,
well, we were talking about
this. I know when they I forgot what year it was when they broke all the disco records
at the stadium.
Yeah, yes. The ballpark. Which ballpark was it? Me, the ballpark expert. But I like, I know about that. I know about Studio 54. Like, I know about all those like pop culture, like really big moments, like even pop culture moments related to sports, like, you know. But I don't know if like the younger generation catalogs back that much.
I don't even know if the younger generation has anything like that today. Like, let's not even forget the cataloging, right? Because that's one that's you can always chalk that up to like, you have to be, you know, maybe as you get older you find things out or whatever. But I don't think that even exists within the younger generation. Like, again, it's the lack of monoculture, right? Like, at most, I think nowadays you've got things like, oh, we watched show X, you know, like, oh, we watched Stranger Things. But it's not like everybody's going around saying, like, you know, actually it's a perfect example, because the first season of Stranger Things, Barb was a huge thing, but like, oh, what about Barb, what happened, you know, justice for Barb, but nobody talks about it anymore. It's totally out of sight, out of mind. You know, and we were talking about the other day, it actually in reference to Dua Lipa. You know, do kids nowadays know who Houdini is? And Houdini was in like the 1800s.
And I knew who
Houdini was. And we knew who he was. Yeah, right.
He was a little before our time.
Slightly. You know, we moisturize a lot, but not that much. Right.
It's a good song, though.
It's a great song.
Come in and go.
Catch me for I go Houdini.
And it's funny because the other day, that all came from the time that I was listening to that song on the radio. It came on with Tristan. And Tristan sort of likes the song. And I'm like, Tristan, do you know who Houdini is? And he's like, no. And he's my kid that, you know,
your pop culture.
It's like, just touch me, an encyclopedia
of everything comes out.
And he didn't know who he was. And that's what made me think. I'm like, this song is really popular. Radio is really young. Do most kids know who Houdini is?
Right. They don't. they don't. And yet we did. And again, by the time we knew who Houdini was,
yeah,
been long dead.
Yes.
Long dead.
Yeah.
You know?
So the kids nowadays will never know who shot JR.
No, they don't.
I mean, who finally shot him? Was it his niece?
I was going to say, for that matter, I don't remember now who shot JR.
It was like his niece.
It was probably like a third, like a tertiary character.
Yeah, no, it wasn't one of the main characters. But right. I think it was like La Sobrina, Viejo de Lo, and I don't know, maybe she wanted to shoot somebody. I mean, who knows?
She's probably upset because he left Jeannie.
I mean, one of my favorite pop culture moments, it's like, are you going to swim in the waters of Lake Minnetonka?
Oh, well, it depends. Am I going there with Apollonia?
Yeah. That's a Purple Rain, if you guys know Purple Rain by Prince. Probably the movie I've seen the most in my life.
Yes. The first boobs Darian ever saw.
The first time I ever saw boobs was on Purple Rain when Apollonia takes off her shirt prior to going in what she thinks are the waters of Lake Minnetonka. But in reality, it's another lake.
Is it because Prince lied?
No, Prince tried to stop her, but she was really into cleansing herself in the lakes of the waters of Minnetonka, Lake Minnetonka.
As one does when
you're Apollonia. One of the 10,000 lakes of Minnesota.
That's true. So many lakes.
Tanto lago.
So much waterlogging.
You know, that would be a great little thing on the street. Be like, hey, you know who Dua Lipa's new song? Houdini. Do you know who Houdini is?
You know, we should do that. We should take to the streets and ask.
I don't know. Who was he? Like an artist? I don't know. Was he an influencer? Yes. Yes, he was.
In a way.
In a way.
In a way.
Yeah. He was very acrobatic.
Yes. Actually, I think he was one of the original urban legend type things, because I don't remember right now the details, but I know that what everybody ascribes to how he died is not actually how he died.
I know how he died.
Say how he died, and I'll tell you if it's the real reason.
Okay, so what I've read, because he died in the Statler Hotel in Detroit.
Yes.
Is that he had done an act a few days before, mm-hmm. where he had received either blows or a lot of impact to the torso, to the,
yep.
the stomach. And I think one thing led to another, and he was injured, and I think he was misdiagnosed. And one thing led to another, and that led...
That's the correct...
Indirectly to his death.
Yeah, that's the correct one. But most people think he died performing one of his tricks.
Oh, really?
Yeah, most people think that he died in the water.
With the chains.
Right.
Oh.
That's what I mean by he's one of the first urban legends, if you think about it.
Now that I said chains, this is totally...
Are you thinking of Tina Arena?
Actually, that's where I was going. I was... So, you know, the Olympics are coming up in Paris, and me being an Olympophile, being that I, you know, I'm a huge fan of the Olympics, and you could call me an Olympian... Olympics historian, if you will. I was actually scrolling through a few opening and closing ceremonies, and I came across, as I was scrolling, that I came across the content for the Sydney Olympics.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
They were like, oh, Tina Arena performs at the closing ceremonies at Sydney 2000. And I was like, Tina Arena is Australian?
Yeah. You didn't know that?
No.
Yeah.
No. So some actually
Tina Arena and Wade Robson.
A little fun fact for you.
Yeah.
A little fun fact. When actually I noticed this week, and I immediately thought about you, and I'm like, oh, I'm going to bring that up to you on the podcast. So the Olympics channel on YouTube has an encyclopedia of Olympic content. So it has the opening ceremonies and the closing ceremonies, I think dating back to the 60s.
Wow.
Right. It has the best of. So the best of swimming, the best of, track and field for every Olympic Games.
Okay.
In addition to the Winter Games coverage. So there's a lot of content there. A lot. Hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of hours of content. And it has a lot of the performances from the opening and closing ceremonies. Do you know what video by far has the most views in the Olympic channel?
Our girls.
It's the Spice Girls.
As it should.
At the London closing ceremony. But by far, it has 25 million views. And the rest have 3 million. You know, because I realize not everybody's going to sit down to watch the opening ceremonies of the 1996 Atlanta Olympics.
Right.
That's what I do for fun. So, you know, they'll have more recent Olympics, when I mean recent, I mean like in the last 30 years,
okay,
will have like, you know, a couple of million views for like the opening ceremonies, you know, things like that. But then when you start scrolling, it's like, okay, 3 million, 2 million, you know, 500,000, 25 million. Who? Oh, it's a Spice Girl.
Well, that's 5 million per girl.
So I immediately thought it. I was like, oh, I'm going to tell you on the show. I thought you would enjoy and yes, appreciate
and it's, that. And that's apropos because they just reunited for Victoria's 50th. And it was one of the happiest pictures I've ever seen in my life.
It's funny because I saw that was everywhere on Instagram. Mm. And I, going back to pop culture moments, that was everywhere on Instagram earlier this week. Yeah. And I love the people that comment of like, why is Victoria always frowning? And I'm like, oh, do you not get the pop culture reference? Aww. Like, that's sort of her shtick.
Yeah. Were these people under the age of 15?
For God's sake, even my dad knows that Victoria Beckham doesn't smile. But then again, my dad loves El Mundo de la Farándula.
That is true.
My dad saw the Beckham documentary.
I'm surprised he didn't produce it. Did he?
See, my dad has even said, he's like, ella seguro que no se ríe porque esa es la imagen de él. I'm like, yeah. They, yeah.
But she's in on the joke.
Right. But it's funny how people, I'm like, are you like 15?
Right.
Because like, if you're older than 30, you should know that that's her shtick. She doesn't smile. I mean,
that's just what we know and love.
But there you go. The most viewed video on the Olympics channel.
Rightfully so.
It's not a sport. It's not a sport or an opening ceremony. No, it's the Spice Girls.
Define sport, because they were riding around on the top of black cabs. And that takes balance. They were doing it in heels. That's balance.
I guess that's balance. Right. I guess you're right. So, I have a little fun story to tell you today.
Okay.
You know, little Miami.
Little anecdote.
Anecdotes. So, I was at Popeyes today, and I was with Tristan, and because today was take your kid to work day.
That's right.
And I always take him to the office and whatever. So, I was at Popeyes, and you know, we had ordered and we had already sat down. And then, like, when we finished eating, I wanted to go and get, like, an apple pie or whatever. And it was full. It was lunchtime, okay. Right? It was full. And there was one lady in the cash register, and there was, like, five people in line, and she was taking somebody's order. So there I was. I wasn't necessarily waiting for her. No, actually, no. I didn't go back to buy dessert. I went back to get extra sauce.
Okay.
Because I love me that, not the Louis, no, the Louisiana mustard, the whatever mustard that they have there. Anyway, so I was just waiting anybody to come by that I could be like, hey, can I have more sauce? Because I realized that she was really busy. There was this guy next to me, un cubano, un viejo cubano. And he starts going, you know, that thing que estos viejos hacen, that.
Okay.
And she was busy.
So like he's trying to get her attention.
Yes. And then he starts going, oye, oye, oye. And this woman is like super busy. And I'm here. I'm just like, I'm going to sit back and watch this.
Where was he in line? Like relative?
He was not in line.
Okay.
He was not in line.
So he was with you.
He was waiting on for the a side, moment. Right. Okay. You know where like they put the food out? You know?
Got it.
And then he starts with like, and then, oh yeah. And then he starts banging on the thing. Dun, 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 dun. Dun, 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 dun. And he wouldn't stop. And he wasn't being like super aggressive about it. He was just being annoying about it. Imagina that it was super swamped inside. And outside, the drive-through line ran around like the building. So everybody was like super busy. And that man, like after a while, he started clapping. Like, after back, like, it was like sort of when Stewie starts, mama, mommy, mom. It was sort of like that, but different iterations.
Okay.
And then he started clapping. And then he started banging against something. And I'm like, pero señor, can you see that they're busy?
You told him this?
No, I didn't. Oh. I was like watching back. I was like, I'm going to see how far this goes. Okay. And you know what it was for? To get a plastic bag. And I'm like, are you serious? And I'm like, that's the type of thing that when I see that happen, it's like, okay, don't you have the wherewithal to see that people are super busy? And it's not like, you know how sometimes you go somewhere and people are just like sort of lounging around and you need something right. And you are like, hey, can, you know, I don't want to be that person, but can you really step it up here? You know, no. Everybody was like super busy running around, you know, and this man was like, just the little is enough to be like, que tu quiere? Because, like, I hate when people do that type of stuff. So I'm like, you know, this person doesn't even have the wherewithal to, like, understand that they're being, like, a real big burden and being super annoying.
Oh, no, no. They understand. They don't care. There's a difference. There's a difference. Because, see, the way you do, what you do in that situation is you do something to the equivalent of, mi amor, cuando tengas un chance, me puedes dar una bolsita de plástico.
Right.
And then you step back, and when she has un chance, she'll give you la bolsita de plástico. Like, that's how you do that situation. You don't act as if though you're being inconvenienced by her doing her job.
Yeah. So that was my little thing.
So annoyed. And I feel it more so because I'm the front
end.
Do you
end like Popeyes?
Of Bim Bam Boyo. I don't dislike Popeyes.
I like Popeyes. I eat Popeyes more than I eat our chicken.
Well, that's because you're not cooking it.
Right. But our chicken is high quality.
Yes, our chicken is great, and we're going to be at Unseen Creatures this Friday, mm-hmm. this Battle Friday, so come by.
I remember we could cater all your events.
We are catering two events in May, actually.
Yes, we are.
We're busy in May.
We are.
Seven.
C'est la vérité.
Seven events.
Oui, c'est la vérité. C'est très bon.
Très bon.
Très bon pour le poulet.
C'est si
bon. Le poulet frit.
I don't know what c'est si bon is. I just know because we're Eartha Kitt. She has a song called C'est si bon. Have you never heard her?
No.
She's like, c'est bon, because, you know, she's all French.
Oh, ooh la la.
She lived in Paris for years.
Oui?
Mm-hmm.
J'habitais à Paris.
Yes, that was probably around the time that Marlon Brando said she was the most exciting woman in the world. I mean, I get it. She's not boring.
No, boring is something Eartha Kitt was not. She was many things, but boring was not one of them
at all.
Do you think cats knew?
Like, that she was around?
Yeah, that they, you know, did she talk to cats?
I don't think she talked to cats, but they knew.
Right, yeah, that's why I said yeah, the cats
yeah,
know.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
I like anyway, that. Anyway, like
para mí. So I actually wanted to bring something up that I found interesting. So I, throughout the course of all this craziness with the podcast and everything, somehow I wound up on like a mailing list of like casting agents.
Oh, okay.
So I'm constantly getting things for like, you know, need model for this or looking for a family of four, you know, all this type of stuff, right? And one came into my inbox this week that I thought was interesting and I wanted to bring it up. So they were looking for actors, mm-hmm. right? And here's literally the first. It was for a detergent brand, and it's a UGC creator.
So it's
user generated content. Okay. The first sentence is seeking talented American actors with a native lowercase n American accent to collaborate with us in producing captivating content for our social media ads. Then again, it proceeds to say seeking talented actors with a native lowercase American accent to collaborate, blah, blah, blah. But then in the requirements, it says native capital American accent. And what struck me as interesting as I'm reading this is that both of those are wrong.
Okay.
Because lowercase native American accent, right? And what is a capital native American accent? Do you want these people to come out and talk like, you know, like Tonto on the Lone Ranger?
What is a Native American accent?
That was my first question. I'm like, because so if I audition,
I don't think they're talking about Native American as like
they did capitalize it at the end. That's the only reason.
Okay, so they want like, you know, the first people, like
right, indigenous people, right? That's why I'm saying number one, they did lowercase in the first two.
Okay, but if that is the case, okay, I have so many questions. First of all, okay, let's say that you do want a more Native American. You know, indigenous
demographic.
Mm-hmm. That's great. You know, more Absolutely. Power to you. But the accent?
Right.
Because if you're putting them in your content, it's probably going to be in English, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's not going to be in their, like...
In Navajo.
Right. It's going to be in English.
Right.
So what accent are we really referring to here? I don't know.
Is it Navajo, Comanche, Apache?
I don't know.
You know? And then on the flip side of it, though, at the beginning, it has lowercase native. So, okay, I'm a Native American by the way that you've written it, right? I'm not Native American capital N, but I'm lowercase Native American, right? I was born here. but I have a Miami accent. Is that a Native American accent?
Who knows what the intern wrote that? The intern wrote that.
But I found that interesting. Like, why would you even say that? Let's say you're not talking about indigenous folk, right?
Okay.
What is a Native American accent? Well,
but that's why I say that depending on whatever way you go down this road, whether it's a Native American in terms of indigenous or a Native American accent, they're both wrong.
This is why I brought it up. Like, this is why I made it a topic.
So the intern wrote that.
So it's the intern's fault.
I think you should write back and give them a hard time.
I think I still have the email. You know what? I wasn't gonna, but now that you've said it, I think I will. Okay, pero primos. You know what's worse than needing to see a doctor without insurance? Having insurance and still waiting months to get an appointment y después te clavan with a copay y que you're out of network y no sé qué. Bueno, whether insured or not, Miami's got a medical game changer. Dr. Good Price, a fully equipped medical facility. Dr. Good Price offers medical consultations for $35 and other medical services starting at just $10. And the best part? It's walk-ins only, with most patients seen within about 30 minutes. Unlike some doctor's offices where your appointment's at 7 a.m. and 2 hours later, you're still sitting there esperando. Plus, they don't accept any insurance, which means you get billed right there, up front, with no hidden fees or bills mailed to you months later. Oh, and did we mention they also have an on-site pharmacy? Medical care is important, but it shouldn't be at the cost of your time and money. Dr. Good Price believes everyone should be able to get affordable medical care on your time. Visit drgoodprice.com today for more info and services.
Yeah. So you know what I want to ask you and I want to ask our listeners? Remember a couple of months ago that I said something like, we talked about like things people say they like, but in reality they don't like.
Oh, I do remember this conversation.
Okay. And I heard you that somebody said when that question was asked, somebody immediately said the Beatles, that you say you like, but in reality you don't like. So I like this. I like this. I like this. Can we talk a little bit of a moment about boba tea?
I don't like boba tea.
I love boba tea, but I tried. Feel... But you know what, though? I love boba tea. I do. I love boba.
I've seen you inhale it.
I go boba for boba. You know?
That's the shirt.
I love boba tea. But I think that boba tea would be one of those things that people are like, oh, I'm going to have some boba. And in reality, they don't really like it. You know what? What other beverage I feel that's true of? Matcha.
See, I like matcha.
Right, but I think a lot of people are like, oh, yeah, I'm drinking matcha because it's, you know...
Matcha.
Matcha.
Right. I feel that way about kombucha.
What's kombucha?
I don't know. It looks awful. It smells awful. Like, nobody likes kombucha.
But I feel that those are things that people are like, yeah, I'm going to have some boba, man. And then really are like, I'm freaking having juice with tapioca balls. Like... I mean, listen, give me a taro milk... boba and I am a happy guy. I mean, I love me some boba, but yeah, like boba is one of those things that like I could see a lot of people just saying they like boba to be into it, right. But they really don't like boba, you know?
Yeah, that's like when for a while there everybody loved bibimbap.
You know what I think of, right?
What?
The time you and I were in New York and we hung out with my friends. And we ate like five times and we went to...
In one day.
And one day we went to like Little Korea. Then we had... You know what? That day we had a pretty hearty brunch.
Yeah.
Then we went to this place that had that like 100-layer cake.
Yes.
Right, that was amazing, by the way.
Oh my God. I forgot. It's a famous place.
It starts with an M. It's by Brian Park.
Mama Fuko.
Is it that?
I think so.
I don't think it was called Mama Fuko.
I think it might be.
No.
No?
Anyway, okay. So we had that cake. Then we ended up in Little Korea. And we had boba. And then we had bibimbap. And then we ended up having cupcakes in Times Square. And I'm sure there was more that we ate. And we ate something on top of at 30 Rock, too.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I mean, we ate like six times that day. And it's not like we had little
the picard
nibbles. It was like we ate. But, you know, we like. Listen, those are some good friends of mine.
En Nueva York se camina mucho. You expend claro que sí. A lot of energy.
Baja la comida.
Exactly.
Baja la comida.
You know, si no te vas a desmayar en
Nueva York. So people were really into bibimbap?
Yeah, like there was like about a year and a half where everybody was just like, you know, oh my God, I'm going to go have bibimbap.
Do you know what I feel people were like that has like a moment that everybody's like into ramen. Oh, I'm getting ramen. Oh, ramen. I'm into ramen.
Ramen cycles.
Okay, I love me some ramen, but don't tell me you're eating ramen every day in Miami when it's like freaking 100 degrees outside. Let's go for ramen. I love ramen.
Fair enough, but here in Miami, every place has the AC blasting, so you could have ramen. Yeah. You could. You could.
Well, you could. You know, you could have ramen in, you know, the Sahara Desert. I mean, yes, you could. But I mean, people aren't having here hot apple cider with donuts, with cake donuts, like they do up north in the Midwest.
That's true. Here they just have ajiaco.
Ugh. Ay, qué cosa para caerme a mi mar ajiaco. Just even the name. Ay, mira, es ajiaco. I'm like, oh my God. That's worse than fricassé de pollo a la cubana. Me tengo puré de tomate, that pollo tieso es. I'm like, no. No,
you know what? For your birthday, I'm gonna make you fricasse. Well,
no, you're not. I'm actually making chicken fricasse very soon.
No, but I'm gonna make you.
I'm making the French one. Have you had the French chicken fricasse?
I don't think so.
It is the French chicken fricasse. So, listeners, if you haven't had French chicken fricasse, but the French version, first of all, if you're in Miami, I highly recommend Le Bouchon du Clove.
Is that the one in the Grove?
Oui.
Okay.
C'est la vérité.
Okay.
Le Bouchon du Clove. They make the most amazing chicken fricasse there. But if you haven't had it, I mean, wherever you live, if they have a French restaurant, or you can make it yourself. It's not that hard to make. It's pretty amazing.
Yeah.
It's like, it's chicken in like a Parmesan cream sauce.
Well, I mean, say less.
And in the Bouchon du Grove here in Miami, it's on a bed of mushroom risotto.
I mean.
And they bring you the crousette boiling out of the oven. And, you know.
I mean, can we just have this right now?
That's one of my, like, The chicken fricasse from the Bouchon du Grove is probably my top three things I've ever had. Yeah. It's really delicious. But yeah, no, let's go have some boba.
I don't like boba. I've tried. You've been with me. I've tried.
You got to try the right one.
I've tried like several. It's not even good to think I've had it once and I didn't care for it. No, because I want to like it. Like, not in the way you were just describing.
Right.
But I feel like it's me. I'm the problem. It's me. Mm-hmm. Right? So I keep trying different ones and I don't like it. I can't get it.
That's like, I don't drink coffee. Mm-hmm. So fraps are something that are not in my hemisphere. And many years ago, my cousin got a caramel frap from McDonald's and I tasted it and I was like, oh, wow. I was like, what is this? What is this creamy, caramelly, chocolatey, you know, confection in a cup? You know,
dulce.
I was like, what is this? And, you know, it has like, you know, 1,000 calories.
We don't talk
about that. But then I had the one of Starbucks. I'm like, no, don't have mierda. I mean, look, we're not getting a Starbucks sponsorship. So, I mean, do we really want one?
Or on the flip side, Starbucks, sponsor us. Convince Darian.
I mean, I'll take a taste test, Starbucks.
Yeah, listen. I mean, I'm sure we'll find something he likes. If you pay us enough.
You know what I like from Starbucks? The sous vide egg bites.
Oh, that's true. You do. You do. They're good. They are good.
I'm the guy that when I go to Starbucks, I order a lemonade.
Yeah, you have like the dragon fruit
mango. There's only like four things I have at Starbucks, and they're all juice.
Yeah. Well, but that is their signature juices as well. So see, Starbucks, we can make this work. Make it work. Give us a shot. Your DEI colors.
Also, you know what? When I go to Starbucks, I kind of do it a little bit in spite. I'm like, I'll have a medium.
Oh, I just can never remember the names.
What is it?
It's grande, venti, and something.
Super venti?
Sure.
No, I think venti is the biggest one because venti I know is 20 ounce.
Okay, see, I don't even know. Like, that's what I'm saying. I literally just say small, so medium, large.
Is it grande, medium, and venti?
No, there's a grande might be the medium.
So it's tall. So is it tall?
Grande, venti.
Okay.
Yes.
But these people that have the code, a tall Mako double shot, you know,
no whip, skim. They are the reason the app was invented. So that the people behind the counter don't have to listen to them. They're like, just put it in.
So okay. Quite right. Something I wanted to like bring up, and you mentioned you were singing Taylor Swift a second ago. So we've talked about Taylor Swift here on the show before, and this week she had a new album called The Tortured Poets Department come out. And, you know, obviously there was going to be a lot of fanfare and all that around it. So, as such, there's a lot of coverage around the release of this album.
Which anything this woman does, yeah.
Which is fine. I can't tell you how many are editorials I've read this week about Taylor Swift. And what I think is great about these editorials is that some of them are like, why is Taylor Swift overrated? Why I don't like Taylor Swift? Why Taylor Swift is a bad example to women? And then the other half are like, why Taylor Swift is the best example there is to women? Why Taylor Swift is the greatest pop star we've had in the last century? Why Taylor? And it's like, I'm sorry. Why do we need to be writing editorials on a freaking singer who releases an album? Like, I don't understand this whole thing with her. And to a large part, last summer when it was the Taylor Swift on tour and Beyonce on tour, the Renaissance tour and the Eras tour, and these people writing these think pieces and these huge editorials on them. I'm like, oh my God, they're on tour. They're singing. It's pop music. They're having fun. People are enjoying it. Can we just freaking enjoy the moment without, you know, whether you're a fan of one or the other? Can you just enjoy the moment? If you like their music, great. Go celebrate it. Go to the show. If you don't, fine. But these like think pieces and editorials and articles over and over and over of about them, but particularly Taylor Swift, it's like, I don't understand. There's like a million things going on in the world. I mean, I know escapism is good. Yeah. I mean, that's one of the things we do here on the show. But I mean, come on. Stop it with this constant like analysis of everything that she does and Beyonce too, and a lot of, especially female singers. Stop it with this like over-analysis of everything they do. It's a freaking record. That's all it is. That's all it is. Nothing more, nothing less. And, you know, people,
they always take it too far.
I mean, I'm not kidding. I read these editorials like back. I'm like, I was going to do screenshots.
Just to have the receipts.
Right. And I'm like, I can't believe this.
Yeah, I think, you know what? It's sadly, you know what it comes down to, though, is it's business. Because these women, let's stick to Taylor and Beyonce just for the conversation, they're big business right now. So everybody who publishes anything about them, especially because print journalism is it's dead. I mean, it's dying, but it's dead. So anything that you post about these women, it's going to show up on the SEO, you know, your Google searches. It's going to show up as, you know, you make that lead with a hashtag on your Instagram, link in bio for article. So that's what it comes down to. I don't genuinely believe that a fraction of these writers really give three shits about either of these women to the extent that the coverage would suggest.
I mean, I don't know. I mean, maybe, because if you're going to write an editorial, a long-ass editorial about Taylor Swift, I mean, that's like if I told you I wrote an editorial about Rita Ora.
I'd totally read it.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. United Healthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Actually, you know what? I'm going to assign that to you right now. That's what I expect. 6,000 words.
Do our listeners know our Rita Ora inside joke?
Have we mentioned Rita Ora?
We've mentioned Rita Ora, but I don't know if our listeners know.
Well, then I think no time like the present.
So here's the whole like Rita Ora joke between Ish and I. And we may have mentioned her a few times. And half of you are going, who the hell is Rita Ora? So Rita Ora is this singer that she's she's London-based. I forget where her heritage is from.
I'll find out.
But she's London-based. She's British. And she had like a big hit album in England, like, I don't know, 10, 12 years ago.
About.
Right? And that's great. That's fine. She never really crossed over to the U.S. in terms of her music. But somehow, we always say, Ish and I, that her publicist and her...
She was born in Yugoslavia, modern-day Kosovo.
Okay.
So,
but she's British. Like, she was raised...
Albanian parents.
Albanian parents. Yes. Right, but she was raised...
Yeah, she's British by citizenship. Okay. Yeah.
So, but we always joke around that Rita Ora's publicist and agent must be the hardest working people on earth, because that woman, for not having really been in much, I mean, she had a small role in Fifty Shades of Grey. She did that song with Iggy Azalea, Black Widow, but I mean,
Iggy Azalea. I will say she currently has her biggest piece of work to date. She replaced Nicole Scherzinger as the judge on Masked Singer.
Okay.
This season.
She did one season of America's Next Top Model, right? And that got canceled.
Then they brought back Tyra.
Right. So she hasn't really had, and it's no hate to her. No. I mean, good for her. But this woman is like, she hosts everything. She's making all these public appearances. She does red carpets. I think she's even gone to the Oscars.
Yeah.
And I'm like, But she doesn't, like...
Nobody knows who she is.
Nobody knows who she is. Like, she doesn't... I think people know Rita Ora for not knowing her. Just like, remember when people were famous for not being... For not doing anything? And we always laugh, like, oh, well, they're... Rita Ora hosted the Dick Clark New Year's, you know...
That's right. That's right.
What's more, like, American pop culture? You want to talk about pop culture than the Dick Clark New Year's thing in Times Square? She was one of the co-hosts.
Nobody cared. Nobody cared.
And you know what? It's not like there was a push for her, like a push.
Right.
Right. And you know, she kind of, well, she did a few appearances and then it didn't work out. Right. Because I think we were talking about it the other day when you were seeing a couple of months ago when you saw Kylie Minogue in concert.
Yeah.
Right. And how she's doing small venues in Vegas because Kylie Minogue never really made it big here in the U.S., but she made it big in the rest of the world. And I said something like, well, but Rita Ora is in the Oscars. So, you know, like,
I don't know. Yeah, there was a podcast that they may still be doing it.
And again, no hate to Rita Ora. I mean, good for her.
No, listen, look, perseverance, girl. And honestly, I think that if we asked her, she'd be on our show. But there was a podcast that for a while, they might still be doing it, would end every episode with, what's Rita Ora doing this week? And I was like, that is wonderful.
And you know what? To her credit, it's not like Rita Ora was like singing at the grand opening of, you know, I don't know, a gas station.
Right.
Right. She was doing these like high profile like moments and events. And it's like, I who keeps booking her?
My favorite recent Rita Ora moment was with the Today Show.
Uh-huh.
Where she happened to be a guest on the Today Show to promote the Masked Singer. Kelly Rowland was supposed to guest host the whatever hour with Hoda Kotb. She pulled out, and Rita Ora was just like, I'll do it.
Her publicist swept in, and she's like, oh, we got her. We got
the girl. 11th hour, this woman's just like, I'm here. Shit, I'm camera ready. Let's go. Let's go.
I mean, good for her.
Yeah.
Good for her. Good for her. We should give Rita Ora a cowie.
We should. You know, I'm sure if Cowie asked nicely, she'd sponsor them. She would be their spokesperson.
Like, what's this lemon lime drink? They don't have this in London.
I'm Rita Ora, and I love Cowie.
I love drinks that are full of Cuban heritage. Anyway.
Oh, Rita.
Give me good Rita. We talked about this here on the show a couple of months ago, but sort of made around again in the news this week. The TikTok ban.
I was going to bring that up. Like, so... I love that this TikTok ban has been going on longer. Like, I've been hearing about this TikTok ban longer than I've been hearing about Rita Ora. Like, it's... So, now...
I mean, we just did a service to Rita Ora.
We just did. We gave her some free publicity. Yeah. I mean, you're welcome, Rita. My whole thing with the TikTok ban is that it's like... You keep hearing about it, and it's like, oh, it's a ban. But it's like, well, you've, you know, now it has to go through here. Now it has to go through this. And now it's got like, what, 9 months, right? Like from the, because it's been signed into, it's effectively been signed into law, the ban, whatever that means.
I don't think the president has signed into law. I
it
think
went, it's a it went bill. To his desk.
But did he sign it?
I believe he signed it.
I heard that it was, the bill was presented to him, but I hadn't heard if he signed it.
Okay. I think I took a screenshot. That's what I'm looking for right now, because I believe Joe Biden officially signs the TikTok ban into law.
Oh boy. I mean, I'm not on TikTok, so I don't
Well,
care.
We are on TikTok.
We are?
Yeah, we are. We are because again, whenever there's a big platform, right. We have to be on it, right? If nothing, I've told you, if for no other reason, we're on every platform, because I'll be damned if somebody's going to get our name.
I know, right?
That's the only reason. I don't post shit on Pinterest, but we have our name.
Yeah, nobody's taking my name.
Yeah. Damn night. I'm like me and Tina Turner. But yeah, what I always think of when these bans happen, and even like the social media one that was signed into law in Florida, yes. Where was it anyone under 14? I think it was.
I think 16.
How do they even envision? I don't even want to say how do they imagine, but how do they envision this enforcement? Right.
Well, the
TikTok is easier because you remove it from
the app, the availability of the app.
Right. But the fact is that
the under 16 one in Florida is harder to enforce.
But in general, even if you remove the app, that's fine. But I'm sure you can still access it through the World Wide Web. I mean, like the web is, God knows.
What, TikTok?
There's a dark web.
I mean, you would have to download a VPN, and you know, most people don't know what that is.
Fair enough.
I mean, it would cause a disruption. Fair nonetheless. Enough. I'm sure there's people who will get around it, but it would definitely cause a disruption.
Yeah, and I do think it would cause a disruption to influencers who have made, I mean, actually, prime example is one of our guests this year, you know, Eddie Suarez has a huge following on TikTok. He has it on Instagram as well, but you know, these people are making their living off of that.
I'm no fan of TikTok. I don't have TikTok on my phone. I never have, and I probably never will. I should never say never.
Is there a reason you're not a fan of TikTok specific, or you just never got into it?
I do have a problem with the whole thing that part of the shareholders is this Chinese government, and it's something that's not really regulated. I do have a problem with that. I mean, I've always been the type that I'm like, if you want to go through my phone, go through my phone.
Yeah.
I mean, whatever you're gonna find, I mean, whatever.
Yeah.
You know,
enjoy.
Yeah, it's like go have a blast. I've never cared for it. I've never cared for it. I mean, I think that the problems I have with TikTok, because one of the major concerns they have, in addition to it's the whole thing of the Chinese government being involved, it's that there's really no curation of misinformation out there in any way, shape, or form. Right, but there's a little bit more safeguards in you know, Instagram and all that, which those safeguards are subject to criticism as well, and those algorithms are terrible as well. Yeah. Actually, you know what? Let me take a little sidebar about the algorithm. In the last like 3 weeks, I'm convinced that I know somebody. Somehow, there's somebody who works at Meta, which owns Instagram and Facebook. Somebody there knows somebody who knows somebody who knows me, and is trying to take trying to mess with me. Do you know what my explore pages have been filled of? And I can't, like, last week I started just randomly looking up stuff on Instagram
to change the algorithm.
To change the algorithm, and it didn't work. Do you know what my explore page is filled of? It's filled of JoJo Siwa.
That is wonderful. I couldn't have planned it better.
I don't know what I did to somebody that works at Meta to piss them off, but somehow I pissed somebody off, because I don't know how to get JoJo Siwa off my explore page on Instagram. She is everywhere. I know all her single releases. I know she has a song called Karma. I know all these podcast videos. It's just because it's there. It just pops up. And then every time I scroll through my Instagram, all my suggested posts are of JoJo Siwa. And I don't understand why. Look, I don't want to hate on her. I mean, she's a young woman. I don't want to be that person, but I am not a fan of JoJo Siwa. And why she keeps appearing on my freaking algorithm makes me want to throw the phone into acid.
But here's the thing, though. I know why. Because the internet has finally caught up to your absolutely dead-on impression of her that you've done so many times and graced us with on this very podcast, that they feel they might be reaching out to the actual JoJo Siwa.
Did you hear what she said
about gay pop? I was going to bring it up.
Yeah, because, you know, I want to make a new genre of music. I want to make a new genre of music because I feel nobody said this before. It's like gay pop. Like gay pop because, you know, there's like gay artists. And, you know, like we should have like gay pop. And I'm like, is she serious? Like she must have a lot of yes people around her.
Yeah. Like, gay pop has been around forever. Okay. We were just talking about Kylie Minogue a little while ago. All right.
I think that that bow pulled on her hair, you know, for way too long, and it caused some oxygen deprivation up there because, like, you know, and then the other day she said something like, oh, Miley Cyrus. I'm like, JoJo, I don't want to pick on you again. You're a young woman. And I think a lot of times what they say about her is like really, really mean.
Right.
But Miley Cyrus, Hannah Montana, you are not, my friend.
No, no.
You are not.
Not even a little bit.
I don't think you could buy yourself flowers.
No. She does not have the best of both worlds. No,
because you know what? She was comparing that new song she has, which is awful, to Can't Be Tamed.
Oh, I haven't heard the new song, but...
It's called Karma.
Yeah, yeah. I'm actually looking at the article right now.
Have you seen her dressed up as Kiss?
She dresses as Kiss?
Like Kiss with a face paint.
Does she look like Kiss, but without the makeup?
If only. She doesn't. She doesn't. You know what? I said this to you about her. I think we talked about it here maybe a few years back. And in a way, I feel bad for her. And again, I stress it. I'm not one of these people that want to be like, you know, attack her because she's a young woman. She grew up in the spotlight. Right. And I don't think
she's had enough of that.
I don't think you should personally attack her. Right. But, you know, she's somebody that she got pushed into this industry by her mom. You know, her mom used to dye her hair. I know all this because I've learned it in all of the content that is being thrown at me.
It's because they want your impression to be so accurate.
Yes,
that they're giving you the information
her
you need.
Mom was bleaching her hair. Apparently she's not a real blonde since she was like 2 years old. Wow. Right, so then, you know, her mom made her wear those horrible, awful bows that it should be a crime against humanity,
DCF,
right? And then, you know, she did get a huge following. She grew up, you know, and it's like, what do you do now? Like, right, where do you take this on? Because she's 20, she's gonna be 21. Right? She was wearing those bows. Like, she was 18, 19 years old, and she was still wearing that damn bow.
Yeah,
right? Right,
yeah, yeah.
And, like, where do you go from there? Right? Mm-hmm. And, I mean, she's not the first child act, right. But actress or singer, but she was, like, her image was so juvenile and childlike that it's like, how do you mature that?
It was almost Baby Jane-ish
in a way. And then just her image, and again, not to attack her, was just so annoying, right? And like, where do you go from there?
Right.
You know, and then she's not a great singer. So it's not like, okay, like it's a very different trajectory, but like an Ariana Grande. Right. Ariana Grande played like a dumb, you know, girl, you know, in Cat and
Sam and Cat.
Right. But Ariana Grande can sing her ass off. You know, she has a chop. So it's like, okay, well, this is not me anymore. But actually, look how I can sing. Right. And she does sing well. Right. But esta que hace, like she even said it herself that she knows she can't really sing well. But she used the word "I'm an artist" very liberally. I mean, I'm an artist too. I paint.
She's more performer, which is what I say because she's a dancer. I mean, at the end of the day, she is a dancer, and that's her strength. You know, so I think it's that area of like I'm a performer, so I'm gonna strengthen over here what I don't do here.
The point of this is, if there's anybody, any of Rompero Primos out there, if you know anybody that works at Meta, tell them that DJ Rompero, let me tell you, has been tortured enough, like. And to please take JoJo Siwa off my algorithm. It's getting out of hand. She's everywhere. And I don't know what to do. I've like looked up everything. I've been like, you know, The Weeknd, Mariah Carey, Yankees, you know, baseball, ballparks, Olympics, cars, fast cars. Like I've looked up everything there is, like looked up people. I've had engagement. Like I've gone and nothing. JoJo Siwa does not get off my freaking timeline.
But have you tried looking up Rita Ora?
I'd rather have Rita Ora on my timeline all day, every day, than JoJo Siwa.
Like, I'm saying, give it a shot. Her publicists are very good. They- You know, maybe Rita Ora is like an algorithm palette cleanser.
She had this thing. Because I'm a performer. I know I'm not a singer. I'm a performer. You know, when I go out and perform. And I'm going to be on. You think you can dance? I'm going to be a judge. You know she's going to be a judge.
She's going to be a judge.
Why do I know this? Why do I know this?
Stop your love of dance.
Stop it, mate. Stop it. I've been tortured enough. I've paid my price. I've paid my debt to society.
Le está suplicando a Mark Zuckerberg.
Leave me alone.
I can't.
Hey everyone, it's DJ. Yoye, you know we've been digging on Kawi Lemon Lime Soda for a bit now. The tart, sweet, bubbly taste of Kawi Lemon Lime is perfect for thirst quenching, and it's been a hit at all of our Ping Pong Boyo pop-ups. People love it. Not to mention, it's been a crisp, refreshing soda since 1948 without an aftertaste like some other sodas. Just saying. Así que, get your Kawi Lemon Lime at your store or even online. And if your store doesn't carry it, pues pídelo and start enjoying the authentically Cuban taste of Kawi Lemon Lime today. Kawi Lemon Lime, qué rico es.
Oh, Lord. Well, after that, are we a little thirsty?
Yes.
Because when you do the JoJo, I think you need some...
Yeah. I need some
refreshment.
Some replenishment.
Replenish refreshment, yes. All right, so it's time for our last Gawi.
Limón con lima, lima, limón. Lo trae Gawi, que vacilo. En la respuesta para este calor. Tómate un Gawi, lima, limón.
Do you want to go first? You want me to
go first? I want to go first because I'm going to give my last Kawi to somebody a group of people I gave my last Kawi to a couple of weeks ago. But due to some technical issues,
yes,
I couldn't really finish the recording. But pero primos, that's how committed we are. That even if there's a technical issue and our last soda is cut in half, we will still give you an episode.
Damn right.
So I think it was 2 or 3 weeks ago, I gave my last soda to, and I'm going to give it again. And I invite you all to follow this page. The page is called London to the number 2 Cape Town. And basically it's three friends from England. They're medical students. They already graduated, that they're taking a trip from London to Cape Town, South Africa. And they're doing it on their trusty 2010 Toyota Hilux called Edna. They named their truck Edna. And basically they've, you know, put on Instagram their travel from London to South Africa. And right now they are they already passed the Gambia. I look at them every day. I forgot where they are. No, because the thing is that they couldn't go now through Liberia because Liberia does not allow right-handed cars, and since their car is from England, you know, they drive on the right side.
The left side.
No, we drive on the left side. When you're sitting down in your car driving, you're on the left side.
The driver's on the right.
In England and in British colonies, the right. But for some reason, Liberia does not allow that. So they have to go around Liberia in another country. I forgot what other country.
How odd.
And I'm like, oh, they can't listen to Liberian Girl. Which is one of my favorite Michael Jackson songs, by the way. If you know, you know. Nobody knows that song, but it's a great song. Anyway, so they are documented everything a couple of weeks ago. I think they're by day 31 now. On like day 23, 24, Edna's chassis cracked.
Oh no.
And the back of the truck separated from the front. Yeah, in the middle. They were in the middle of nowhere. Yeah. So we were all like, oh my God. The anxiety I'm getting from watching these videos. See, people online are like in the comment section, they're like Cape Town should do like a day, a proclamation when you guys get there. Like, they are here.
Celebration.
And one of the things I really like about their content is that I would say about 95% of the comments are very positive.
That's good.
You know, of course, you have your few terrible people, but it's a great ride, you know, literally. So I invite you all to just, you know, it's great because it gets your mind off of things, and you could really, really, especially if you haven't seen their Instagram before, you could really just start and scroll through all their reels. They're by day 31, so they're not even halfway.
Did they say how long they thought they would take?
No, they haven't.
Oh, okay.
They do a lot of Q&As because they knew that it was going to be like they have to take it, you know, little by little.
Okay.
So, yeah, follow From London to South Africa on Instagram, and they get my last sodas and my last cowies, and they need a lot of refreshment because the other day it was 122 degrees and the air conditioner in the car broke. Yeah.
Well, in the immortal words of another Edna,
girls, my back is breaking.
Is that Miss... That's from the Chipettes.
No, it was being Mrs. Garrett. Edna
Garrett. Oh, Edna Garrett. No, wait. Miss Miller.
Miss Miller.
What was her name? Beatrice Miller?
I don't know if she had a first name.
Did she have a first name?
She was always Miss Miller.
Edna.
Yes. Edna Garrett. Well, that's a good one. I think...
Oh, my gosh. You know what? Actually, now that you said Edna Garrett, the other day, I was here... And I was watching, they were putting Different Strokes on. And I was telling Tristan about Different Strokes. I was like, this show was very, very popular in the early 80s and really reminds me of my childhood. Although, again, I think that when I started watching, no, when that show.
It was still on air, but we saw the reruns a lot.
Yeah. But I remember the fanfare around that show. And I was telling him, look, you know, I learned that Park Avenue was a fancy place because the Drummonds lived in Park Avenue. I knew about Harlem because Willis and Arnold were from Harlem, right? Like, I learned all these things through Different Strokes.
It's true. We would learn that, yeah.
My parents had just been here from Cuba a few years. My parents didn't know we'll get out on Park Avenue, but Avenue.
Avenida de un parque.
Yeah. Anyway, the episode. So I was telling him all about it. Oh my god! You know what episode it was? It was the episode. No, not the child abduction one. It was the episode when Arnold was getting his appendix removed.
Oh, I don't remember that one.
Oh, that's one of the most famous ones. That he was getting his appendix removed, and then one of his friends, who was a white little girl, they were going to share the room together, and her dad, the racist bigot, didn't want his daughter sharing the room with Arnold.
Oh, I don't remember that one.
Yeah, and then Mr. Drummond and the guy have a fight. And, you know, clearly he was a racist bigot.
Right.
And it's funny because, like, again, kids, Tristan, he's too young to really know the history and context of all that. But he was like, but why is he making such a big deal? Because, you know, he's black. And I'm like, this is a long conversation, you know, like.
On the plus side, that's a good thing that was a reaction. No,
it's a good thing. But again, because it's. That's not really something that you see in a lot of sitcoms nowadays,
right?
Because thankfully we've moved on from that. Seeing content about that is like a little bit like
the civil rights movement was still pretty recent in the grand scheme of
right,
all. Yeah.
Right. Yeah, you're right. Because that was like that episode was from 1979.
Okay, well, there you go.
Because I waited to see the end of the episode. I was like, we weren't even born. Like, and he was like, but why is he upset about that? And I was like, great. But it's like, it didn't click on him that would have been content that would have been on like primetime TV.
That had to be addressed.
Right. You know, like, you know what I thought about, right? What's the one? Saved by the Bell. Kids, this sub, no, this for this fall season.
The Just Say No to Drugs.
Just episode. Say No to Drugs. Yeah. What is it? Dope is.
Say nope to dope.
Say nope to dope.
Yeah.
Yeah. That Peter Engel comes out in that. It's like, oh, you knew it was serious if Peter Engel. And no, but the intro and the Saved by the Bell one was like crazy, stupid,
dangerous,
dumb.
Yeah. And now, you know, they sell them at what looks like Apple stores.
Anyway, well, let's move on.
Moving on to mine. So my last soda, I'm gonna keep it short and sweet. You know, nowadays, as we all know, you turn on the news, it's just wall-to-wall tragedy and craziness, and it's enough to just make you want to like pull your hair out, which I can't afford to do. So on Instagram, I have actually started following this influencer. I don't know if she's an influencer, but her handle is That Good News Girl. Mm-hmm. And she makes it a point every single day to post a feel-good, positive story. So a lot of times she'll post something like, you know, these people were reunited with their pet after something happened, or this, you know, this family was able to buy, you know, toys for the neighborhood children. Just, again, just very, very wholesome, very feel-good stories. And again, her name is Jen. She doesn't have a last name. She's kind of like Cher. And I just think in this day and age, like as we know, there's just so much we're bombarded with. You know what? If you can follow at least one positive person online who's trying their damnedest to show you something happy, let's just do it. Let's just do it. I mean, it's a nice thing to have. And, you know, her comment section, I'm sure, probably has trolls in there as well, but it's drowned out by the overwhelming, you know, smiley faces and all that kind of stuff. So That Good News Girl.
Get to your last cowie.
Got last cowie, yeah.
Well, we both gave our last cowie to you know, positive sort of social media accounts.
Yeah, they exist, people.
Yeah.
They do exist.
Do you know what social media account sort of I fall a rabbit hole under? Like, Karen's getting bitch slapped.
Oh, my.
Yeah, like, it's like content of, like, Karen's... Uh-huh. Having their just desserts.
You know? I don't think that's going to be on That Good News Girl.
No, but it's a little satisfying.
I'm sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. A little comeuppance.
Yeah. Because some of the Karens are like, it's incredible that people like that exist. But then again, you know, he wasn't a Karen. He was a, what was he in Spanish? What would you say? Not a Karen. What would he call a male Karen in Spanish?
In Spanish?
Eugenio. At Popeyes today.
Yeah, that guy was
over just a plastic bag.
Like, seriously, bro, just move on with your life.
Do you know every time somebody says plastic bag, what I want to say?
Tom Green?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Plastic bag, plastic bag. Plastic bag, plastic bag. That dates us.
It does.
It does. Do you remember the theme song to the Tom Green Show?
I don't.
This is a Tom Green Show. It's not the Green Tom Show. This is my favorite show because it is my show.
Still fatal.
Let me tell you something. Tom Green, you want to talk about pop culture moments? Bringing it to the beginning. Tom Green had such a big moment that Drew Barrymore got married with him.
That's true. That's true.
And let me tell you something. Tom Green was freaking, at the time, hilarious.
And then he just disappeared.
Yeah. You know, from MTV.
Yeah. I blame it to testicular cancer. He didn't die. He just disappeared.
Yeah. He disappeared like Jesse disappeared, the guy who won I Want to Be a VJ.
Oh, yeah. Jesse
Camp. You know, it's Jesse Camp. He won and
Dave Holmes
got second place. But, you know, I think Dave Holmes has done a lot better.
Oh, yeah. Dave Holmes came out winning.
Yeah. This is the Tom Green Show. It's not the Green Tom Show.
Well, it's the Better Let Me Tell You podcast.
That's like, I remember, this is older, being a kid, and I never saw a single episode of This is the Theme of the Gary Shambling Show. Oh.
I know that show existed, but I never saw an episode.
You know what I've never seen a single episode of? The Tracy Ullman Show.
That I have, because I saw The Simpsons when they were on there. So that I do.
Anyway. Bueno, everybody, thank you so much. We hope you listened, laughed, and learned. And as always, remember to grab your croqueta, your pastelito, and your cawi. And thank you so much for joining us. Our 300th episode is coming soon. So
that's going to be a fun one. It's going to be a lot of fun.
All right, we have something fun in the works. So thank you so much, everybody.
Cuídense.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Pero Let Me Tell You is co-hosted by Darian Borges and Ismael Llano, produced by Ismael Llano, and our theme, Pero Let Me Tell You Freestyle, is composed by Michael Angelo Lomlaplex, the official gay guy. And don't forget to subscribe and leave us a review on iTunes.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more, with Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
How would you like to look 5 years younger? In a clinical study, people that had volume added with Juvederm Voluma XC in the cheeks perceived themselves as looking 5 years younger at 6 months after treatment. Look younger, feel like you. Add volume for lift and contour in the cheeks with Juvederm Voluma XC. Reverse signs of aging by adding volume to smooth laugh lines with Juvederm Volure XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
Hey, folks, I'm Mark Maron from the WTF Podcast, and this episode is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. I love the change of seasons, but nobody loves pollen and all those other things floating in the air that make you sneeze during this nice weather. Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved. So fight back against watery eyes and runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. For this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.